God's point of view rather than just our point of view. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being human? What is a Paul? What is Apollos? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned unto each. We're not so much arguing nowadays about did Paul, is he the one who led me to Christ, or if Apollos led me to Christ? You know, that was a long time ago. But don't we still argue amongst the church? Is communion, is it once a month? Is it once a week? Oh, no, I do it every day. Baptism, is it, you know, I declare it once before everybody and I'm baptized? Oh, no, every time you sin, you got to be rebaptized again. These are silly doctrines that we fight over and quarrel amongst ourselves, and we miss the true meaning. When you do either one of these, you need to be doing them unto the Lord. If the Lord convicts you to do it once a week, do it once a week. If the Lord is convicting you to do it, then do it. But be strong in your faith about it. Don't be going, well, I think it's this, but next week, no, I think it's this. We need to be strong. Ask God. Look at it from His point of view rather than getting quarrels amongst ourselves and having all these different denominations that we have. Going on with verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field, God's building. God created all of us. We're all the same. I'm no better than you. You're no better than the person sitting next to you. We're all the same. God has just given us different jobs. The question is, which job is yours, and are you doing it? That's what matters. Just because I stand up here doesn't mean that I am any better off than any of you. Pastor Kevin is the senior pastor here. It doesn't mean that he is better than any of you. We're all the same. We're all doing it for God's glory. He's the one who's getting the praise. The question that we need to ask as mature Christians are, what job did God give me? Am I a planter? Am I a waterer? Am I a harvester? And am I doing that job? Or am I living this life for me rather than giving God all the glory? Verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid the foundation and somebody else built on it. Let each one take care how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't build on anybody's what anybody else has done, a planter, water, or anything, except for what is Jesus Christ. If we start twisting the doctrine to suit ourselves, you are going to get into so much trouble. We are supposed to be doing it for God's glory. We're supposed to be encouraging each other and growing each other in the faith. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together, that is in the habit of son, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the final day approaches. We need to be encouraging one another and growing each other towards God. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's in Proverbs. We are supposed to be encouraging and leading each other closer to God rather than tearing each other down. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, stubble, each one's work will become manifested, for the day is disclosed it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. It was a pause for, let us sink in. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire. One point I want to make clear here is not talking about your salvation. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You are going to heaven. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But we can lose our rewards. We can lose our rewards. John 10, 28. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hands. Once God has got us, nobody can pull us out. But our works, our rewards, we can lose. As he talked about, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, as is tested through the fire. Each of you know what happens to those? We all know what happens to wood, hay, and stubble when it goes through the fire, huh? But the people back then really knew what it meant, and I don't know if people nowadays really understand. Gold and silver. Does anybody know back then what they used to do? They would heat up the gold and the silver, and they didn't have the fancy stuff that we do nowadays, so all the little rocks, other metals and stuff would float to the top, and they call it dross. And so the goldsmith or silversmith would skim the dross off, all the impurities off of it. And how the goldsmith or the silversmith knew that it was right is when he saw his reflection in it. So God is going to send whatever you do, all of our works that we do here, he's going to send them through the fire, and he's going to skim off all the things that we did for ourselves, all the things that we did for me, until he can see, oh, they did this for me. I see my reflection in this. So it doesn't matter what we're doing, if you are, you know, flipping burgers at Mickey D's, or if you're a missionary over in Africa. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it so that people say, oh man, he's a missionary, that's awesome? Or are you doing it for God's glory? Each one of these is going to go through the fire, and God's going to test it. And the stuff that we did for him, we will get a reward for. All the rest of the stuff is just going to be tossed away. It's going to be dross. Another one, the precious jewels. I did some studying on that one this week. I thought it was kind of interesting. They would do the same back in the olden days. They would heat them up because the jewels, be it a ruby or a sapphire or whatever, responded to heat differently than the rocks that it was in or the other metals that it was in. And so as it heated up, it would expand differently and it would crack and break off all the other stuff. And then that jewel, that sapphire or ruby, as it got hot, it would start to get a lot clearer. And there again, they knew when they could see the reflection in it that it was ready. And I thought that was so interesting that God's going to run it through the fire until he can see himself in what we're doing. And that's what we're getting our rewards for. But I really want to emphasize on this, he is not talking about salvation. Our salvation will not be burned up. You cannot lose your salvation. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, he will destroy himself. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. When we talk to people, we need to stay true to God's word. We can't be changing it to fit our whims or what we think it says. We need to be sure about what it says. Matthew 18, verse 5, it says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones that believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone fastened around his neck for him to be drowned in the deeps of the sea. So I said we need to talk different to those baby Christians, because they are still children. They're still babies. They are still thrown back and forth by doctrine. And if we are saying doctrine that is not true, it might still be good, but if it's not true, we are going to suffer for that, because we are leading those little ones astray. And we can think back in through the history of the Christians. You know, I'm thinking the Crusades wasn't exactly what God had in mind. That was us trying to do what we thought was right. And he's cautioning us here, don't do that. Don't do that. Stay true to my word. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. Is your wisdom, is the stuff that you learn, is it getting in the way of your walk with God? There's a lot of people who go to college and they start learning all this stuff and they fall away from God because, well, logically it just don't make sense. No, it doesn't. God made that perfectly clear that logically it doesn't make sense. How can you be working and making lots of money and barely surviving, but then you start tithing and give God 10% of it, so you have less money, but you are making all your payments and stuff? How does that work? It doesn't make sense. Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. That's not what you think. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There are things in the Christian's lives that we just need to trust God. It's called faith. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, explain the Trinity to me. Sorry, I can't. Your little finite mind can't understand it. It's faith. I know it's true because God's word says it. Why do you could get three people that there's only one? No. It's called faith. I know it's true. We believe. Not on my own understanding. Trust in him. Is the wisdom of this world getting in your way? Going on to 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise as they are futile. You can't hide that sin from God. You think you're so clever and so wise that, nobody will ever find out. That's true. Nobody might ever find out. But God knows. And it clearly says in Scripture, one day it's going to be what you did in secret is going to be shouted from the rooftops. So there is no such thing as, I think I can get away with this one. I can slide underneath the radar on this one. That's our wisdom, which is foolishness to God. He says in Jeremiah 16:17, for my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquities concealed from my eyes. But take heart. He says that any time we confess our sins, he is faithful and true and will forgive us. No matter what it is. There is no such thing as, well, yeah, but you don't know what I did. My sin, I don't think I can be forgiven. He already died on the cross for it. It is forgiven. Just confess it to him and accept his forgiveness. Don't try and take care of it yourself. 21. So let no one boast in himself, for all things are yours, Lord. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Give God the glory in everything. It's all his. That red Lamborghini that you've been striving for your whole life for and you really, really want it, it's his. That, you know, what are we up to now? A four-bay garage, you know, a big house with a four-bay garage or what have you? It's already his. It's only on loan to you. So why are we striving so much for that and neglecting what really matters? Those are the things that's going to be wood, hay, and stubble that's going to make the fire that the stones and the gold and silver go through even that much hotter. Which I guess is going to make it purify faster, I guess, because the fire is hotter. But we need to give God the glory. There is no such thing as, I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. God gave you that wisdom. God gave you that power to do that. Everything is his. This world, life, death, it is all his. So how can we earn any of it? Nothing is ours. We are just stewards while we're here. Are we being good stewards? Are you going to get that reward? Or is it going to be burned up and dross off? Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Are you working to please man, to get the praise of man? Working to get the praise of your spouse? Do you want the praise of your kids for them to finally accept you? All of those, while they're good, are not what we're supposed to be living for. We're living for God. Once he gives us the glory, all those other things just fall into place. Once we get our heart right for him, he takes care of all the rest for us because he is faithful and true. So how do I know where I'm at on this spectrum? Am I the baby Christian, a mature Christian, somewhere in between? How do you look at everything? When you come into conflict, do you go, I wonder if the good Lord is watching this and what he would want me to do? Are you like, well, everybody else would totally completely, I would be justified if I punch this dude right in the end of the nose. Nobody would whatever, you know, they'd all say, oh yeah, he totally deserved it. Are you looking at it that way? Or are you looking at it through God's eyes? What would he want me to do? I can pretty much guarantee you the one that God wants you to do is going to be a lot harder. But it will be so much more rewarding, both now and for eternity. Are you kind of fearing death? Kind of dreading that day? Because we're all getting closer and closer to it. We're closer than when I just started. We're all getting closer to that day. Are you dreading that day? Or are you waiting anxiously for that day when you get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, there are some things on here on earth that I would love to see. You know, maybe walk down my kids down the aisle. That'd be kind of cool. But if the good Lord said, well, you have a choice doing that or that, I want to go be with my Maker. I want to go be with my Savior. All the rest of the stuff God will take care of. Or are you kind of dreading that day because you're like, oh, I'm not too sure what my, I think all of my stuff is going to be a big fire and a lot of dross. Today is a new day. Don't worry about yesterday. Start over right now. Live for the Lord. Live for him. Today is communion. This is a great time to take a look at your life and to see where you are. And if there is anything that we need to bring before the Lord, there's no better time than the present to do that. Because he is always faithful. If we confess it, he forgives it. If we ask him, he always will strengthen us. He's always talking to us. The question is, are we listening? You know, it's kind of like my kids. I'm always talking to them, but they're not usually listening. I know the good Lord does the exact same thing to me. He's always talking to me, but I'm not always listening. But it's just like when your kids come to you and ask for forgiveness. You forgive them, right? You love them. Well, we're human. We're sinners. So wouldn't our Heavenly Father even more so forgive us? He loves us. So as the elders come up this morning and we participate in communion, I want everybody to be thinking in their life, Is there something that the good Lord's laying upon your heart that he wants you to talk to him about? If so, there's no better time than the present.